Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, High Rollers is an improvised comedy podcast and almost always contains adult content.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hell or High Rollers.
Yeah!
Hey.
Today is going to be an episode of The Tower of Terror, our mini-series. If you haven't heard it before, don't worry, it will all be explained as we play. So we have...
Hello, I'm Greg Tannehill, and I'm happy to be here.
You don't sound happy to be here.
I don't know, I'm nervous. It's the Tower of Terror.
Hi, my name is Ellie Morris. I normally play Ghoul on the podcast, but today I'll be playing a different character.
Hello, my name is Chris Leask, and I usually play Glubrick, a barbarian, but today I will not be playing that.
And lastly, our special guest with us today for the first time, very excited to introduce Mr. Sam Riegel.
Yeah!
Yes!
Hello, I'm Sam Riegel. I'm from a show called Critical Role, and I'm here, and I don't play anything normally on the show. So that's that.
There you go.
Very exciting.
So very excited
here.
To have Sam here. And there's not a lot more to say other than let's play Hell or High Rollers Tower of Terror.
As the first light of dawn breaks over the horizon, the inhabitants of the sleepy village of Rodney begin to stir. The world is cloaked in a tranquil silence. The Rodney Marsh, still and shrouded in the remnants of night's shadow. And looming over them all is the ancient and abandoned Necromancer's Tower, a sentinel of mystery silhouetted against the burgeoning light. Don't laugh, Chris.
This is so cute.
Near its base squats a cluster of tents, containing another band of intrepid adventurers who seek to gain that which has eluded so many unfortunate souls before them, the Necromancer's treasure. Will one of these few be the one to finally best the tower's nefarious defenses? Well, I am Puku, a humble Rodnesian, and I will tell you their tale.
So, stepping up.
That's great.
That was Puku's introduction. Now we're in Puku's story world. Mm-hmm. To quickly explain the rules of the Tower of Terror. The Tower of Terror is designed to kill you. It's a really, really unfair game. No one has made it through yet. All we've had is a total party kill so far.
Amazing.
So we will see if anyone gets through. The background is that after the Necromancer, Eric Sanguinius, died, the magical remnants of his works turned the tower into a deadly fortress, protecting his most valuable items. But adventurers from all over the land journey to Rodney, unable to resist the lure of untold treasures. So, will anyone survive? Will today be the day that somebody finally gets that treasure? We will find out. And we begin, or rather, Puku begins his tale, as the flap on one of the tents is thrown open.
What a beautiful, gorgeous, glorious day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, the grass is there. And what you see is a tall, elegant-looking half-elf bard wearing a pristine cotton shirt with a crimson cloak, and he has grey, slicked back hair with a large ducktail beard. He takes a puff on his pipe while polishing a small statue. That's one of his awards that he won.
Yeah.
Instant status.
He won an award.
Yeah.
You'll find out later what that's for.
Yeah. Bracken, come and see the day. Come and see how glorious it is.
All right, I'm coming. And this is Bracken. So Bracken is a half orc. She's got really broad shoulders. She's got a robust build. She stands taller than most humans. And she's wearing overalls covered in pockets and straps that hold tools and nets. And there's a little bit of stitching, and the words on her overalls read "Pest Kept Secrets."
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
Bracken, I've never asked you, what is your business?
I've got a pest control business. I love creepy crawlies and all different animals. And I don't kill them, you know. It's a humane one.
Of course.
Animal-mane one.
Oh, very good.
But where are the others? Where's Kenbriel? Where's her?
You mean hair? I think you mean hair.
I'm back, guys.
Oh, hi.
What you see before you is a humanoid, maybe. Hard to tell, because basically you're looking at a gigantic pile of hair. There are loose outlines of shoulders and arms and legs-ish, but you can't really tell how tall this creature is or what they are. It's just a pile of hair, and it's not uniform hair either. It's different kinds of hair, different colors, different... there's probably some pubic hair on there. There's some old gray hairs. There's long hairs. There's short hairs, and it's sort of a patchwork. And around his waist is a belt, also made out of braided hair, and on the belt hangs various tools, like scissors, a comb, a vial of that stuff that barbers put the comb into to blue fluid, whatever that is. And he's over his shoulder, he's carrying a dead wolverine.
Oh my god.
And he walks back and says, "Oh, I'm back. I went on a morning hunt. I needed to feed myself." And he proceeds to skin the wolverine and take its hair and sort of put it on his body, replacing tufts that had fallen out the night before.
Massive ball of walking hair.
I got up early. I'm sorry if I woke you guys. Is Kenbriel up yet?
I have been awake for hours. And you look at the top of one of the poles of the tents, standing on one toe in a very serene position, hands together.
Oh,
is this quite the opposite to hair? Kind of not a hair on his body. And just wearing
bald
kind of
baby.
Like some hot pants. And he's got a kind of few little ropes around him with like little packs of essentials you need on this adventure, maybe. And he's got 8-pack abs. No, he's got 12.
Yeah.
He's got a 12-pack. Yeah, very muscular, quite tan. And, there is one patch of hair. He's a braided goatee that goes all the way down to his nipple height. he's standing there, eyes still closed. But then when they finally open, there's a kind of golden hue to them. And then he just does a little front flip and lands very silently in front of you. Are we ready for today?
Oh, I'm ready. God, it really freaks me out when you do that. I never know where you are.
Well, I'm just in as many places on the astral plane as I can be.
Would you like some wolf?
it's Wolverine, actually.
Oh, yeah,
sorry, I'm not going to eat the body if you want some.
Oh, yes.
Lots of protein to tone up.
Just eat the hair. But they're not even eat it. It just soaks into your skin.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? If I could find my mouth, I would gladly have a meal. I just can't. It's there somewhere.
just like sustenance drips and down the hairs somehow.
I think it's in this area. It sort of points to the front of him. What were you... were you having visions on the astral plane today, or just sort of on a vacation, or was it like a porn thing? Were you?
Unfortunately, the porn one hasn't happened for a while. I've been hoping to have that one again, but no, I keep getting the same vision about this tower and about how I'll find myself if I enter it. My true self. I'll make some personal discovery. Oh. So that's why I'm here.
Well, you'll find more than yourself. You'll find a fuck ton of treasure.
Well, yes, I'm hoping to, you know, use that to
buy a sense of self.
Yes. yes. I need. I haven't had many material goods. I'm interested in them.
That's great. A monk who's just desperate to buy stuff. Yeah. Just wants a big shopping spree.
So unusual.
Okay, the tower stands before you, piercing the otherwise flat landscape like a black blade. As you approach, you see a moat, as deep as it is wide, an inky black abyss whose waters seem to absorb the light rather than reflect it. A wooden bridge spans the moat, leading to a heavy oak door in the base of the tower.
Well, I say we get across that moat.
I'm sorry.
What
no,
a moat?
Look, it's my accent. I'm saying moat. The moat.
I think she's saying moat. Yes.
Can you see the moat?
I can see the moat, yes.
Wow. Boy. All right.
But barely. I have to sort of move some hair, strands of hair away to see.
I'm going to walk across the bridge. Careful. Lads, I'll take one for the team.
Okay, you step onto the bridge. As soon as your foot touches the bridge, all of your stomachs lurch as gravity flips. The bridge and the earth are above you, and the yawning depth of the sky is now below you.
What?
Are we falling?
Well, you all have now a chance to roll a dexterity save to see if you manage to grab onto the bridge.
Oh, that's very cool.
Oh, boy.
19.
19? Yeah. So Bracken manages to grab onto the bridge quite quickly, one hand on the rail.
Yeah. Oof.
No, 11.
Oh, 11. I got 11 as well.
11. I got a 4.
And a 4. 11, 11, and 4. So you three all fall into the sky.
No! Oh!
This will be a quick episode.
So you barely have time to gasp before you disappear downwards from your perspective, Bracken. What? You see them becoming smaller and smaller, then disappearing.
What?
So do you're something. Now hanging from this bridge, and the earth and everything else that exists are above you. You're hanging from the bridge, and the sky is below you, and these other guys have just disappeared out.
Right, well, I think I'd like to get off the bridge now.
So you're a spellcaster.
Yep.
So you can roll a spellcasting save. So that's using your spellcasting modifier, which I believe is wisdom.
Yes, it is.
But wait, aren't we getting to the top of the tower? This is really quick.
This is true. Yeah.
You did miss the tower on your way into the sky.
Yeah, just
you're falling into space rather than.
So my wisdom thing is 15.
15 is actually a pass. So you are familiar with this kind of magic. You focus your mind and use your magical ability to shield it from the spell. You close your eyes, focus, and then you open your eyes and you find you're actually not upside down at all. You're standing quite comfortably on the bridge. And your three companions are all next to you, lying on the floor, flailing around wildly and screaming.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Kenbury will flounce and her. It's all right.
What? Can you roll a persuasion?
There's nothing. Nothing's all right. Everything's wrong.
Roll a persuasion check.
Another 18.
18, yeah. So that passes. So you manage to convince all of these guys that everything is all right, and you guys realize what's happening.
Just convinced. I love that.
You're just convinced. Yeah, it was just you just need to calm down.
Oh, yes. Oh, but you're right.
The magically induced hysteria has unfortunately damaged your minds, and you each take 1d12 psychic damage.
No, so quick.
You roll your own damage.
Days.
Oh, 7, 3, 4.
Wow, this tower. I tell you,
that's terrifying.
So you're now all back on the ground as normal, and the bridge is no longer affecting you.
Am I still standing on the
bridge?
You're
standing on the bridge, and it's now not doing anything.
All
right, so
hopefully that's the worst that could have happened.
Maybe I'll carry each of you across in case when you touch it, it happens again.
Oh, that's actually not a bad idea. Can you carry all of us?
Yeah, you can drape round me like a pashmina.
And I do.
I just drape.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So
you're very smooth.
I'm very smooth. And here, a little massage for you. Oh, and I'll give a little massage.
Okay, so Flounce drapes himself on Bracken, and Bracken carries him across the bridge. I can tell you the bridge is no longer active, so it's
Flounce is happy to stay on the back.
So one by one, you all drape yourselves on Bracken and carry yourselves across the bridge.
Right.
And as you do so, I want someone to roll a perception check. One person, nominate who's going to roll a perception check.
Kenbriel.
Kenbriel will use his golden eyes. That is a 22.
Oh, very good. As you look down at the water, as you're being carried along on Bracken's back, you see it ripple slightly, and you catch sight of a slick black tentacle momentarily breaching the surface.
Old friends,
I'm having that porn vision again.
Oh. Describe it in vivid detail.
Think of the wettest hair you have. Oh.
Go on.
Look below. There is something that lurks in the depths.
That's all you know for now. There's something down there.
Maybe perhaps we should enter the door as quickly as possible.
I'll let my compatriots go while I draw my scissors and hold off anything that might attack.
Is that your weapon? Is a pair of scissors?
It's a big pair of metal scissors.
Yeah. So on the other side of the bridge is the oak door that I mentioned earlier. As you approach it, you can see that it has a note pinned to it that reads, "Knock twice."
Do you think we should knock twice? The door has asked, sir.
Maybe do it once, because there's trickery afoot.
Well, but what if it really does need two knocks?
Well, then we'll do two eventually.
Fine, I'll go towards the door. I will knock once.
Nothing happens.
All right.
Wait, do you... No, no.
No, screw this. I'm going to play D&D. I'm going to do an investigation check on the door. 16.
Oh, yeah. You can tell just from looking at it that there is something magical about this door. It's kind of rippling slightly. There's an aura around it. There's something magical going on.
Right.
I mean, maybe we just knock twice.
You know, screw this. We could be here for hours just talking about this. I'm going to knock twice.
Who's there?
Oh, my God.
Maybe they need a joke. Maybe it's a joke thing.
Oh, doctor.
Doctor who?
Oh! We've bested the door.
The door laughs.
Oh, not bad.
And it opens. Yeah! You got that immediately. That was amazing.
Yes, right.
With one of the worst knock-knock jokes ever.
Yeah. Who wants to go through? I mean...
Yeah, Bracken strides through.
You step through the door and find yourself in a spacious, well-lit, marble-floored lobby, like that of a high-end hotel. In the middle of the lobby is a bronze statue of a horrifically misshapen, amorphous creature frozen in a pose of desperate anguish. On the far side of the lobby is a large carpeted staircase leading up.
Well, let's close this door before that porn monster follows
no
us in.
No one said porn.
Oh,
you
sorry,
said porn.
Sorry. I say what I see.
You do, you do. Close the door.
Yep, close the door.
I'll go over to the statue and just sort of inspect it and see if it... Does it have a nice head of hair on it?
It doesn't have a head of hair on it. It's very amorphous. It's just kind of a... It looks like a melting, blobby kind of creature, but made of bronze. But you can investigate.
Okay. 11.
Well, it's pretty easy to notice that there is a plaque at the base of the statue. And the plaque reads, "Poor manners maketh meat man."
Oh, no.
Oh, does it look like a pile of meat?
It does look like a pile of meat. And you guys encountered this before.
And Meat Man is terrifying. It's just a man made of meat who chases us. It's horrible.
Well, it seems like... Is this him? Or is this an homage to him?
Well, your characters have never met him.
No. I don't know this.
So what does the plaque say again?
It says, "Poor manners maketh meat man."
All right. So we've just got a bee. Nice.
He's just, yeah.
Nice.
So I bow to the statue, giving it respect.
Nothing happens.
Great. Well, let's move on.
Is there like another door we can see?
Just there's the carpeted stairway leading up into a corridor at the top.
All right.
Well, up. We want to go up.
There's no other way up. It could be. Last time you stepped foot on something, we all almost died. I know it was imagination, but still.
No, you did take damage. Well, should one of you try it then? Because I took one for the team last.
Well, let's have a little look around, shall we? Kembriel does an elaborate set of martial arts kind of moves and then punches his nipple and casts light just on his nipple and has a look at the stairs.
From
his
nipple?
This guy?
God, this guy
He's an Asimir, or Asimar, however you say it, so he can cast light.
I thought you said
wants.
An acid man.
He's having a great time.
You cast light, you just illuminate the room more. It's just a nice, beautiful hotel lobby. It's really pretty well lit.
Yeah. But looking at the stairs in particular?
Nothing you can see.
Yeah. Look, lads, if we want this treasure, we've got to just forge forward no matter what. I go up the stairs.
As soon as you put your foot on the stairs, you hear the sound of creaking metal behind you because you didn't take off your shoes before stepping on the carpet.
Oh, you've just made the hammer.
I'm barefoot. I should have gone.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I'm wearing shoes. I can't see.
True. The only character we know is wearing shoes stepped on the carpet.
Oh!
The meat man statue slowly turns and lurches down off its plinth. Shit. The bronze plating shatters and falls away to reveal the meaty flesh beneath as the meat man begins charging towards you.
Oh no.
Jesus.
So for listeners who are new to the Tower of Terror, the meat man is the result of the undead inhabitants of the tower trying to create their own undead servants. They made him out of meat, he has no bones, and he can only scream. Which he now does as he chases after you, going...
Oh, he's awful. Right,
okay, we need to get the hell out of here.
He will now pursue you for the rest of the game. If at any point you spend longer than 4 turns in a room, the meat man will arrive in that room and attack you. So every room has a countdown timer on it now. You can slow him down with spells and attacks and things, but you can't kill him.
Is it
sustained by the power of the tower?
Is it 4 turns like each, or like 1, 2, 3, 4?
It will depend on the room.
Oh, cool, cool.
So the meat man is now charging at you, screaming.
Just run.
I'll try to slow him down. I'll take out my second pair of scissors, the one that I don't care about as much, and I'm going to try to slam them down, pinning him by the meat to the floor if I can, as hard as I can.
Great.
Go, nice. Roll an attack roll.
Okay. 18 plus stuff. I'm sure that hits.
That's a really good hit. I'm going to get you to roll a dexterity roll just because you want to do something precise with that attack.
This is not very good. Oh, boy. Natural 20!
Yes! Okay, very good. Yeah, you pin the meat man to the floor and are able to duck out of the way as his meaty fist swings over your head.
I must say, I'm quite jealous of your shorn body. Anyway, stay here and I'll run after my friends.
Very good. You run up and everybody runs up the stairs.
Yeah, absolutely.
So because you did that and you pinned into the floor, you now have more time in the next room before the meeting.
Oh, great.
It's been delayed.
Oh, great. Oh, nice one, her. That was great. That was class.
It's hair.
So you run up the stairs and hurtle down the corridor, and at the end of the corridor you see another door ahead of you.
Does anyone have a joke?
Are there any notes on this door?
No, it's just a door.
So, I kick the door.
You kick the door. It was unlocked.
Does the kick open it in a cool way?
Yeah, it opens.
Yay!
Who wants to go first?
Well, my shoes are already off, so maybe I'll head in.
Yep, you step through, and you find yourself in a plain, unadorned room with walls, floor, and ceiling made of rough black stone, much more like a room you'd expect to find in this old, crumbling tower. Ahead of you in the room is another door. Are you guys all going in?
Is it lit? Is it dark in here?
It's lit by torchlight. There's torches around the room.
And my nipple.
And your nipple.
And your nipple.
say, Flounce, what will you do with your treasure when we get it?
If I'm absolutely honest with you, I'm not really here for the treasure. I'm here for research and learning. I have a new play I'm doing, which is about haunted cave. And so I'm just here for the journey, really.
So you're saying that if we reach the treasure, you won't want any of it?
No, of course not.
Wow.
Wait. Do you want the treasure?
No, I don't.
Well, that's really misleading.
Hard to read.
Is now crawling down the corridor towards
you. Jesus Christ. Okay, keep going.
Does the door close or did you knock it off its hinges?
It's still there. Okay. The door exists.
Kick it closed.
Yeah, you kick the door closed. You're all in the room now. Okay. As the door slams shut behind you, an envelope is slid under the door you've just run through.
Oh.
And I'm sliding a real envelope onto the table in front of us.
Oh, wow.
Kenbriel is opening the envelope. Oh. Could everyone else please put their fingers in their ears?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So make sure you really can't hear this. You can read this out.
Okay. No one can hear me? Good. Okay. Okay, so Kenbriel opens a thing. And from now on, I must always be the first person to enter each room or the curse will damage me. If any of my party members realize I've been cursed, I will instantly die. Oh, okay.
So every time you enter a new room, you have to make sure you're the first person to go through. But if anyone notices that anything's weird, if they say the word curse, if anyone really starts to think there's something weird going on, you'll instantly die.
Okay. Right.
Okay, everyone can take their things out.
I don't know why I was closing my eyes, too.
What did it say?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You just read it?
So we just put our fingers in our ears for no reason.
Bullshit.
No, I don't know. I had a vision and then it's now faded from my memory immediately.
Can I look at the letter as well?
Kenbriel quickly tears it up. What? Into a million pieces.
What are you doing?
I think it's best you don't set your eyes upon it.
Well, what did it say?
I don't know.
Well, what should we do now?
I don't know if that's true. Is it, sneaky boy? You know what? We can leave this if you want to. I feel like this is kind of a thing for you right now. I don't really know what's going on.
I think he's broken down.
What?
Okay, so there's another door at the end of the room. There's only one door. Who wants to go first?
Allow me.
What? Really?
Can we trust you?
He sprints to the door and he opens it.
Okay, yeah. You open the door. And
sorry, he kicks it.
This one, kick open the door.
So cool. And
there's, the doors.
Yeah, there's just another room beyond. There's nothing unusual at the moment. You're going through?
I think we should just carry on.
Sure. I'll grab a torch off the wall and carry it with us.
Good call.
Yeah.
You have a torch now. So you step through into the next room and you hear a clang as the door slams shut behind you. Looking around, you see that this door has a very heavy metal panel on the inside. The room you're in is actually a large metal cage in a stone shaft, like a very big elevator. So imagine you're in a big cubic cage. The floor of the cage is made of metal grating, through which you can see a pool of green liquid a few feet below you.
No.
Above the cage, higher up in the wall of the stone shaft, is another doorway, currently out of reach.
So we're in a kind of suspended cage.
Yeah.
We're in.
What?
We're in that thing that I used to clean the combs.
That weird alcohol liquid.
Yes, it's sticky stuff. We are the comb and we're about to be dipped in the stuff.
Very good way of describing it. In the middle of the cage is a little table on which sits an ornate deck of playing cards. I'm going to play some real playing cards.
They're real cards. They're pretty.
These are really smart.
There you go. And one of the cards is already turned over and it's the Jack of Hearts.
Okay, so wait, where are the cards?
They're on a little table in the middle of the cage.
Okay.
I wonder if we get lower than the jack, the lift goes lower.
Yeah.
And if we get higher, it goes higher.
Oh, yeah.
So Can we cheat?
Yeah.
How would we do it?
I'm just going to, take a little strap off my belt and just drop it through the cage just to see what happens to it.
It's a good idea. So you drop a strap through the cage into
leather.
The green liquid and it looks like it just immediately dissolves.
Okay.
Oh, God.
In the liquid.
Well, that's good to know.
Could someone roll an arcana check?
I don't know anything.
Yeah, no, I'm not a magic person.
I could do it. 5. Never mind.
That's not a d20, mate.
Yes, I know. 6.
You're not able to tell anything in particular, but you look at the cards, and after a moment, a voice echoes around the room. Higher or lower?
All right. Okay.
We might as well just draw. I mean,
I think we have to guess what it's going to come next.
Then a jack. Right?
So probably lower.
Probably lower. Yes.
You're saying lower?
Yep.
We'll say lower.
When you say lower, the cage drops 1 foot.
Oh.
Okay.
And you can judge roughly that you were about 3 feet from the liquid.
Shit.
So you said lower, you dropped 1 foot. And now, one of the cards magically turns over. The 5 of spades.
It's lower! Yeah.
Nothing else happens.
Oh.
Oh.
All right.
Okay. Oh, so we need to say higher. Surely.
Probably be higher.
Because I don't want to die in green goo.
Higher or lower?
Higher.
Higher. Higher. The cage moves up 1 foot back to where it started. And you turn the 4 hearts.
No.
Suddenly, an electric shock runs through the cage. You all take D12 damage.
Ah!
D12? Oh, man, oh, man.
Because you got it wrong.
Oh, God.
Oh, 11.
7.
4.
2.
Higher or lower?
It's got to be higher,
we
right?
Higher. We just got to take the pain. Yeah. I think that's what it is.
So you say higher, and the cage raises up a foot into the air, and you, looking again, you can see that you were, when you started, 3 feet from the door above and 3 feet from the pool below.
Mm-hmm.
So you now move up one space.
So we're +1 on.
Yeah.
And the card turns over and you draw an 8.
Nice.
Oh, 8.
So you're now 2 higher guesses away from the door.
All right, so...
So when we got that electric shock, was it from the cage itself?
The cage itself.
Hmm.
So is there a way of, like, every time we just say higher and then just try and not
just
touch
jump.
The cage when it moves?
I'll just jump.
Let's
so
do that.
I've got an idea. I'm going to start tying my hair to the top of the cage.
making like a
net. Making myself into some sort of like a hammock. hair hammock held up only by hair.
Yeah, great. Okay. Can you roll? That's an interesting roll. Can you roll a, I call it a survival roll?
Sure.
I feel like that's kind of a survival-y thing to do to make a hammock.
Can we all help to give advantage?
You can give an advantage.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Just like, you know, like a slumber party where everyone's doing each other's hair. Yeah,
yeah. Natural 20.
Okay, great. Wow. Yeah, you make a beautiful hair hammock. Okay.
I can't, I'm just hanging here by my arms and legs, or what look like arms and legs. Just a mass of hair. Hang on to me, everyone, when we do the next draw.
Everybody
right. Yeah. I get on the hair hammock.
You climb into the hammock.
Very good.
So hair is still touching the
Yes, I don't
cage.
Know if that will conduct electricity.
But everybody else is now suspended.
Works.
So, higher or lower?
Oh, gosh.
It
okay.
Was eight. Higher or lower than an eight?
Eight. I think we should go higher.
I think the way we say higher, right? We're just going to get
how
an
electric
shock.
How much higher is the door?
Two.
You're 2 feet away from it.
Right, okay. Cool.
I think we've got to say higher.
Yeah, higher.
You say higher. The cage moves up. You're now nice. 1 foot away from the door. Higher than an eight.
Come on.
It's a queen.
Yes!
So you take no damage. Higher or lower? Higher or lower than a queen?
Well, I think, right. I think look, if we say lower... We'll, won't be electrocuted, but we'll go down. So we need to just say higher and let hair take the damage.
That's the choice.
I think it's that's what...
I don't want to be an asshole, but come on, I can heal you after.
Thank you.
We're going to say higher.
Are you saying my name right now, or are you saying higher?
I'm saying higher.
Higher. Higher.
Saying higher. Higher.
You're saying higher. So the cage moves up 1 foot, and you now the aperture in the cage lines up with the door above, and a card turns over. Higher than a queen, it's a 10.
Oh, no.
So the electricity runs through the cage again. You three are all safe, but hair, you do take another D12
no.
of damage
oh, no.
as it conducts through the hair.
Just a one.
Just a one. Okay.
That works out well.
And while I'm holding on to you, I just touch you and I'm like, you are a healthy, healthy boy. So creepy. So creepy. And I just massage you and I cure wounds 2d8.
Oh, great.
2d8?
Yep. 11, 12, 12.
Oh, amazing. Thank you. I'm back to full.
There you go. Great.
Wow.
Oh, your hair looks so luscious.
Thank you, but I'm trying to get rid of it.
So you unentangle yourself from the cage, and as you're climbing down, could you roll a perception check, hair?
All right. I'll try to move the hair out of my
ocular
sensors.
Is he the best person to do this?
Oh, it's not great. 9 plus 3, 12, okay.
12 is enough because it's not hard to see this. Okay. You notice that the cards, the magical glow that was keeping them in place and fixing them to the table has now faded and they are loose.
Oh. Loose cards.
Well, you can take them if you wish.
Is there significance?
Okay. I'll take the cards.
Yeah. I'll give you this deck of cards.
Ooh. You will need them later.
Well, I'm going to tell you now. These are magical cards. They give you a luck reroll. So you can, at any point, after you've made a roll, turn a random card from the top of the deck. If it's a red card, that roll becomes a 20. If it's a black card, the roll becomes a 1.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
That's exciting.
That's
very cool. That's very cool.
Okay, so the door lined up with the hole in the cage, so it's now another door.
Kembriel shows you how to open this door and does a spinning back kick.
Spinning back kick?
Yes.
You kick another door open? Yeah. Yes.
And then I roll through.
Okay, you roll through. Now, as the first player to enter the room, could you roll a wisdom save?
A 12.
A 12 is just enough. You manage to catch yourself just in time and avoid rolling onto some suspicious-looking tiles on the floor of this room. You immediately catch yourself and stop yourself from carrying on forward. Each tile on the floor of this room has a different word written on it.
Oh. Are they in the common tongue?
They are not in the common tongue.
Oh.
What tongue are they in?
Well, that's a good question. So I'm going to read these out for the benefit of the listeners at home, and then I'll show you guys the list. So there are 8 different tiles you can see, and this is what's written on them. Formicidae, Ranura, Pan Troglodytes, Adler, Aculeatus, Essel, Schlang, and Kanguro.
What's a Schlang?
If you have to ask.
Beyond these tiles, you can see what looks like a sort of obstacle course. You can see a tight rope suspended over a pit of spikes. You can see a large wooden wall. And on the other side of the wall, you can see a platform that leads to a rope swing. And beyond that, a ladder leading up.
but we need to step on these tiles to get there? Mm.
In order to get there, you'll need to step on one of these tiles.
On one tile?
Well, you'll find out.
Okay.
Well, that last one looks like kangaroo.
It does. So I think we've just cracked the code.
That'll be a kangaroo, that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna step on kangaroo.
That's never gone wrong for you before.
You step on kangaroo. As you do so, you feel a shock of magical energy run through your foot. The kangaroo tile breaks beneath your feet, and you feel your body morphing and shifting and changing, and you turn into a kangaroo.
Hey!
Oh, my days.
Oh, my God. Oh, look, lads!
You are now a kangaroo.
Oh!
Oh, wow.
Can she still speak to us, or is she a full
animal?
I'm going to
say, for the purposes of a podcast, you can speak, yeah.
Easel.
So, we're going this is a boon. Boon. These are all boons.
This is fantastic. So there's E-S-E-L.
Essel.
Could be an eel.
An eel?
Which could be an eel.
Eel. Could be an eel.
Schlang could turn you into a dick.
It would be nice to have something that could fly.
Adler could be like an adder.
Troglodyte.
What
isn't
is that?
Isn't there an animal called a troglodyte?
There's a monster called a troglodyte, which is like a lizard thing.
I'd jump on the Schlange. I want to
you jump on Schlange.
Schlange, sorry.
Yeah, you jump on Schlange. You again feel the same shock of energy run through you. Schlange tile breaks. It can no longer be used. Uh-oh. And you feel yourself shifting and changing, getting smaller and lower to the ground. And you turn into a snake.
Oh, that's so cool.
Wow. All right.
Oh, no.
Ken Reel.
Turning into animals.
What should you go for?
I have absolutely no idea. What if you jump in another one? Would you be a weird hybrid of both?
No. I didn't plan that, but that could be fine.
Sod it. Okay. I do a flip in the air and splits in the air. So one heel lands on one tile. One heel lands on
one tile. Tiles.
Whichever ones are closest.
That's so strange.
Ranura? Two top ones. The
Ranura and Formicidae.
Yes.
Oh. Give me a second to think what this is going to be. Okay. You land on Ranura and Formicidae. They both break. The shock of magic runs through you. It seems to be confused what to do in your body. You morph and change. You kind of go into horrific shapes at first, and then you condense into a cross between a sloth and an ant.
Oh, God.
So you are...
what would that look like?
So you are a very, very, very small sloth. With antenna and ant-like strength, like incredibly strong, okay. But very tiny, very, very slow-moving sloth ant creature, okay?
Oh, no. Oh, I have found my true self.
Wow.
And hair?
While you decide, I'll slowly start making my way.
Well, you could hop inside my pouch.
Oh, I do that.
You could do that, yeah. You climb inside the kangaroo pouch.
Right.
We could try and get you something that doesn't have any hair. You could be like an eel, like really smooth. That's you might like that.
That's what I'm drawn to. I really just want to experience life without hair for just once. I'd love to know where my mouth is. That's why I'm on this adventure. I'm going to use the treasure to go to a proper hairdresser. Get a haircut. I will jump on Essel.
You jump on Essel. And you feel the shock of magic run through you. Your body morphs and changes. And you turn into a donkey.
Every donkey.
Possibly the donkey. Least useful for an obstacle course of all the animal options.
Is it a really hairy donkey?
It's covered in hair, yeah. And it's still a donkey.
Don't call me hair anymore. Call me he-hair.
Very good. So you've all now changed into animals. You still have all your weapons and your items. They're on packs that are kind of strapped around your bodies in various different odd ways.
Cute.
And you can hear the approaching sound of the meat man.
Maybe we should let him step on a tile so he'll turn into something else.
That's a good idea.
Oh, that's actually not a bad idea.
Well, he's going to come in eventually, but right now you guys can get a head start.
All right.
Let's get moving.
What's the next obstacle?
The first obstacle is a tightrope over a pit of spikes.
Donkey on a tightrope.
Oh, God. No.
How long is the span of rope?
It's about 10 feet.
All right.
All right.
Can we do?
If any of you don't want to brave it, I can probably kick you across.
Well, I could probably hop.
You could. And carry at least one of us in your pouch.
Exactly. So I'll carry Kenbriel in my pouch.
Okay.
I feel like a snake could probably just go along the tightrope, right?
Probably.
No brainer.
How big a snake are we talking? Because maybe we could lasso you around the donkey. And the wire and like zip line them across.
Great, yeah.
So you like bite the end of your tail.
I like it.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So the snake wraps itself around the donkey and you put your tail in your mouth, Ouroboros style.
Yeah.
Very on brand for your character.
I absolutely wink at you.
Yes, yeah. And like, I assume you've looped yourself like around the rope as well. So that's in there. So it's going to be a strength check for you to see if you can maintain. It's going to be a really hard strength check. You're now using the stats of your animals. Oh, so I have them up here. I can tell you that snakes are not strong.
Can we help in any other way?
Maybe if you can buff it somehow.
I can do enhance ability.
Yeah.
And I could give you bull strength.
That's great.
Has advantage on strength check.
I could give you the deck of cards.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
So the donkey reaches
well,
in
its
pack.
Well, I get to roll first, right?
It plucks out a deck of cards in its mouth, hands it over to the snake.
I roll first, and then I can choose to do it, right?
Yes.
Okay,
there's a chance this is just going to tear you in two.
Oh, gosh.
Shit. It's exciting. I'm here for the journey.
Bracken
kind of hunkers down in her kangaroo form and, starts the spell concentration to enhance ability and give you bull strength.
Great.
Meanwhile, in your pouch, this weird little sloth ant mess creature.
I'm really struggling how to visualize what I look like.
I mean,
imagine a very, very small sloth, but its body is ugly and bulbous. It's got the segmented body of an ant, but in a mammalian physique.
Oh, great.
I'm going to say that you're going to have to roll regular athletics checks to see if you can cling on. But as a sloth, you'll be pretty good at clinging.
Oh, in the pouch?
In the pouch, Okay, so let's do the strength check with the snake.
Wow, so it's with
an advantage. I'm going to tell you now, you have a -4 to strength.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ. First roll. It's a 4. Okay, so I'm going to do the deck of cards. So just get this clear. If it's a red...
A heart or a diamond, then you get a natural 20. If it's a black card, you get a natural 1.
Oh, my God, it's so tense.
Then I'm probably going to rip in half.
So, well,
you know, I know exactly
what
you're
going to
do.
So you're now around the rope. You're going to cast yourselves off into space. Donkey, good luck, man. You're just hanging on.
No, it's a spade.
No!
Spades.
Oh, no!
So you tear all the way along. Where you're biting your tail, you just rip all the way along the length of your tail. Immediately taking D12 of damage, first of all. You're lucky you didn't rip in two. I think that would be too harsh to absolutely destroy you.
Absolutely kill myself. That's a full 12. Great.
And you deserve that 12, really. And you both plummet towards the spikes.
No!
Now, Donkey, because you haven't done anything yet, I'm going to give you an opportunity to have a dexterity save to see if you can nimbly land on your hooves and avoid the spikes.
All right.
Because there's gaps between them.
Yes, I will aim all four hooves between these spikes, and hopefully I can avert some of the damage. And I'll use my tail to sort of, you know, like a cat does, right myself as I fall. A graceful... That's a 15. This is dex?
With the stats of a donkey.
Oh, no.
And donkeys actually have +0 to dexterity.
15.
Okay. 15, that's enough. I'm going to say that's enough to just land, funk, because you're quite tall. You land around the spikes and you don't take any damage, but you do take a small amount of falling damage. I'm going to say 1d6 because you fell 10 feet.
Do I roll for that?
Yeah, go ahead. Everybody rolls around.
6.
No.
6 damage. Snake, however, I'm not going to give you a chance to roll because you were flailing around madly in agony.
Agony as well.
You just land straight on a spike.
Oh!
Right.
And you take another d12 of damage.
Ooh,
this could be it for me. I've got 9 left.
Oh, boy.
Ugh. 3. Okay.
Three damage. Okay. So you're now in the pit. From down here, you can see that on the far side of the pit, in the sort of total wipeout style, there's an animal-friendly lift that will take you to the next obstacle.
Yeah, so
the option is always to take the damage and go to the next thing, you know?
Oh, okay, great. Okay. Well, I do that. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to cast second level Cure Wounds.
On me, right?
Kangaroo.
Yeah, so I think I'm just attempting to hop across.
I think as a kangaroo, you'd have a very good chance of jumping 10 feet.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you with an advantage just a straight dexterity check.
Great. Oh yeah, 17.
With the stats of a kangaroo, it's plus 2.
Oh.
So it's 19, and you easily hop across. However, do you manage to hang on as your weird sloth ant? You have an advantage because you're a sloth, and sloths are good at clinging.
I rolled an 8.
Rolled an 8, that's not enough. So you fall off. However, you are tiny, so you don't take any fall damage, and you don't even have enough force in your fall to spike yourself. You just slowly float down and land in the pit.
Oh. I can't think of anything funny to say.
I will try to avoid stepping on you as I get out.
I just slowly climb onto the back of our donkey.
Yeah, great.
My tail instinctively whaps you.
And I take 12 damage.
So the kangaroo's landed on the other side. So you guys are all going to make your way to the resort.
Yeah,
animal-friendly lift.
Yeah,
operates and brings you back up to the level of the platform. So you all arrive on the second platform at the base of the wooden wall. However, back where you came in, the door you came in slams open, and you see the figure of the meat man. And now you have your turn to get over the wall.
All right.
Oh, there's a wall to climb.
There's a wall to climb.
We should get over this wall immediately.
How tall is the wall?
Yeah.
It's about 12 feet tall.
Can I jump over it?
You can try.
I'm going to try and hop over it.
I'm going to wrap myself around you like a very broken belt.
It's mainly, these tasks are mainly about how to transport a donkey.
That's true.
That's what it's become.
Could you kick through the wall?
I'm going to try to kick through the wall.
Yeah. Both of you do it together.
Yeah. I would like to rage to go into a
yes, a raging donkey.
I would like to turn around looking at the meat man behind us, and filled with rage and fear, I will furiously kick through the wall.
Go for an attack with advantage.
Okay, terrible. 17 plus.
Donkey strength is still pretty strong. It's plus 2. Yeah, so 19. You smash a hole in the wooden wall.
Yes!
Big enough leg. For me?
Yeah, just big enough to squeeze through as a donkey. Yeah, it's
amazing.
A big, big hole. You got big hooves. You smash a big hole in the wall.
Amazing.
That's amazing.
I'm going to angrily push myself through the hole.
Yeah, okay, you do so.
Do I follow? Can it fit a kangaroo?
Yeah, I follow as well. Yeah,
that's fine. Assuming there's a floor on the other side, right?
There is. The platform continues on the other side, and you are confronted with a cavernous, bottomless pit. You can't see the bottom, just darkness below, and a hanging rope halfway across the pit. And the meat man behind you has now started slithering and slopping his way forward. He steps onto the tiles, and I'm going to roll a random D8 for him. He turns into a meat eagle.
Great.
A giant meat eagle spreads its big meaty wings and flaps, and it's flying in the air and it's going to come at you.
Oh God.
I cast Silent Image on another eagle that's flying around, but like a really pretty one to distract it. Like, ooh, it's
okay,
a
you
cute
do
eagle.
So. In the same way that you're a snake, but you have your mind, you're not attracted to lady snakes right now. Meat eagle is not attracted to eagles, so he just ignores it. Okay.
What
do you guys want to do?
Bloody slot.
Shit. All right. Meat eagle coming towards us, and we are...
You are standing on a platform. Yeah. There's a big pit in front of you and a hanging rope. On the other side, you can see another platform with a ladder that leads up into the ceiling.
How high is the getting to the rope?
Getting to the rope.
Like, you know, there's a rope in the
center
of the
room. Halfway across.
Halfway across.
So I could jump, grab it with my teeth, and possibly swing across.
It'd be a hard check, but you could.
I could use my ant strength to help somehow.
Yeah, no, but it's only strength relative to an ant. So you could lift a leaf.
I guess I'll try and grab it. I'll try and jump and grab the rope.
You could probably jump the whole distance.
Okay, great. I'm going to do that.
Okay, so roll with an advantage, an acrobatics check.
Okay, so I got a 10.
So with kangaroo stats, that's a 15.
Oh.
So you happily jump across, land easily on the other side. What are you doing?
So I'm going to tip the ladder. Does it reach?
Yeah, I'm going to say that the ladder, it led to a hole in the ceiling, and you can take the ladder off and drop it over the gap.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So there's now a ladder across the gap.
You guys go first, I might break it.
Kembriel just goes across the rope, which I assume is pretty easy.
How do you get to the rope? It's hanging
shit,
in the middle.
Yes, yeah, you're right.
You're an ant.
Okay.
I've just given you shit, man.
I was just thinking about maybe attached to a pole or something.
You're a messed up ant.
Just go across the ladder.
Okay, Gabriel, yeah.
Start yeah. You, as an ant, you can just walk straight across. To you, it's like the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, I do the same.
As the snake, easily you go across.
Oh, I want to ride the snake.
you can ride the snake.
We stand looking back at her.
Sure.
Okay, you have one chance
wants to do this before the meat man swoops down and attacks.
Yep, I will, like a donkey in a china shop, I will charge across the ladder bridge and see if I can do it.
Go for an acrobatics check.
Before he tries that, can I cast another enhance ability and give him cat's grace so he has advantage on dexterity and doesn't take damage from falling 20 feet or less?
Ooh.
Yeah, great. I mean, it's a bottomless pit, so if you fall, you fall.
Oh, God.
So you have an advantage on this dexterity check.
Very good. Pretty good. I don't know what the donkey's dex is, but I rolled a 19.
You rolled a 19. Oh. The donkey's dex is plus zero. So, amazingly, dexterously, you clatter along the ladder bridge. Your hooves quite easily finding the rungs. And you spring all the way to the other side. And the meat man pokes its bird head over the top of the wall and screech screams. Yeah, <that's okay.
laughs>
And it now swoops down towards you. So there's a hole in the ceiling above you.
Okay, so I'm going to flip the ladder once more and get climbing.
That's your turn to put the ladder back in place.
Yep.
I am going to activate, if I'm allowed, my Asimar ability of suddenly bamfing out some wings.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Is that quiet?
Angelic wings.
So some tiny, like when it's the season where ants all grow wings, tiny little insect wings pop out of your back.
And I just zoom straight to
you
the hole.
You zoom straight up. You could have done that the whole way.
Yep.
You zoom straight up through the hole. Okay. So you go straight through the hole. As soon as you pass through the hole, it's like you're passing through a magical force field. Your body is restored to its normal shape and you fall into the next room. Snake director, what do you want to do? Snake director and donkey have to climb a ladder and there's a meat bird coming at you.
Go for it. Get up there.
But how are you going to climb a ladder?
I don't know.
Is there like...
I'll figure it out.
Could I do like what you were doing in a cartoon? If I attach myself to him and just spin my tail really quickly and become a helicopter? Could we do
Man,
that?
That's going to be a high check. That's going to be a really high check. I'm not sure that's the route you want to go down.
No.
All right, I will, as nimbly as my hooves can grip each rung of the ladder.
Yeah.
I will pull myself up rung to rung and try to climb up through the hole.
Go for it.
Uh-huh. I get to roll twice. They're both terrible. 10.
10 is not enough, I'm afraid. No. It's a very difficult check. So your hooves kind of clatter on the ladder, and as you'd expect, the donkey does not successfully climb the ladder. And the meat man catches up to you and starts attacking with its meat claws.
Meat beak.
Fuck is he now? The meat beak attacks you.
Oh, no.
And your armor class as a donkey is actually 10, and he got a 9, so his meat beak just misses.
Okay, I would like to use the grapple action and try to bite down on his meat flesh and hold firm, hoping that he will fly up and chase after the others.
Oh, that's brilliant. A pretty good idea. Okay, so grapple action. I think that's a strength check against
probably
his strength. Yeah.
That's a 3.
Are you still raging, though?
Am I raging?
You are still raging.
Okay, then I get advantage on strength. 15.
What?
And as a donkey, you're pretty strong. That's enough. You bite onto him with your big donkey jaws, and his opposing strength roll, he only gets a 5. So you've got him. And he's flapping his big wings. Now, if any of you can convince him to go up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm practically naked, so I just kind of show off my meat to him, which I assume he likes. And
yeah,
stuff.
We should just catch up quickly. The snake, could you quickly roll a dexterity with advantage to see if you can climb up?
We're all making wild assumptions about what this meat thing is attracted to.
Exactly.
Dexterity, was it? 24.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So the snake easily climbs up the hole and you turn back into your normal form as well.
Great.
Oh, wait, are
Kangaroo,
we back in normal?
If you get through the hole, you are.
17?
Yeah, easily. You hop your way up the ladder, rung by rung, dung, 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 hopping up, and you turn back into your normal form. So you're all poking your heads through the hole at the top. You're all in your human form, and you're trying to distract the meat monster, I guess.
Oi, yeah, meat man! Meat man over here! And I just start waving.
Yeah, roll a persuasion check.
Could we be with advantage?
With advantage, because there's 3 of you.
Because
all
of my...
screaming and shouting, yes, trying to attract the meat man.
Okay, so it's a 17.
17. So the meat bird clocks you with its meaty bird eyes and starts flapping its wings, and it goes straight up to the hole. It's going to try... This is going to be a strength check for the bird, see if it can lift your donkey weight. God. And it gets a natural 20.
Wow.
So its meaty wings haul you up into the air. It goes through the hole into the next room. Now, the meat bird's going to be in the room with you.
All right.
Now, I'm going to assume my wings are still bumped out in their normal form now.
Yeah.
I do a flip in the air and hit it, and I have an ability that might be able to push it. You're going to spend some key points.
Well, that's great. So it's come through the hole. Oh, both meat bird and hare have turned back into their normal form. So
amazing.
It's now meat man and hare sort of suspended in midair, right?
And I'm going to try and bash it with my heel back down through the
go
hole.
Go for it.
Like a kind of whack-a-mole thing.
And can I try and catch hare?
You can.
As that happens as well, so they don't fall as well.
As you catch hare, I yell at you, did you see where my mouth was? Can you point to it on my body?
I rolled a 19 to hit. I assume it's no damage or whatever.
There's no damage to the meat man. He's sustained by the
tail. And then I have to use a key point to do flurry of blows to make this work. It must make a strength saving throw. If it fails, you can push it 15 feet away. But if it's falling anyway, because it's lost its wings.
It's suspended in the air because it had upward impetus.
So okay.
It's going up and you hit it. It fails its strength save and goes straight down, plummets down through the hole through which it came. And you see it splat on the platform below and splat into a kind of meaty splotch.
Oh.
And you have gained yourself your regular 3 turns that the meat man takes to get back into its form and chase you.
Amazing.
Nice.
That's very nice.
And roll quickly to catch hare.
That will be 15.
15, yeah. You gather hare into you. Grabbing chunks of hair and gather hare towards your body. And you are all safely out of that room.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Oh, my savior. Hello.
Hi.
I've never looked at you from this angle.
I don't know what I'm looking at.
So you've now all kind of scrambled into this room and you look around you and you see it's a fairly plain square room with stone walls lit by torchlight again. And hanging in the room, on the other side of the room, is a skeleton in an iron gibbet.
What's a gibbet?
A gibbet is one of those things you see in medieval movies where it's a guy in a cage, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hanging in a cage.
Okay.
There's also a door beyond him. Nothing else.
Nothing.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hi. Oh, how are you?
Oh, you know, not great.
Do you want to get out?
Yes.
Why? Why should we let you out?
I was an adventurer too once, you know, maybe... Maybe let me out and give me a heart and then I can go my way.
What was your name?
Sertain.
Sertain?
Sertain.
The necromancer. He took my heart and trapped me in this cage. So I want one of you to give me yours and then I'll give you the key.
Oh. We're very possessive about our hearts.
Well, I think it's the only way you're going to get through this door.
Well, is there anything else you might want?
Nope.
How about a haircut?
I'm a skeleton.
I'm going to go just look at the door and see if we even need to talk to this guy. Is it unlocked?
It's not unlocked. This is a locked door with a keyhole.
And do we see the key hanging around Skeleton's neck?
He's happy to show you that the key is hanging around his neck on a little necklace.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I'm going to try something. Skeleton, from the moment I saw you... Your alabaster bone, your symmetrical rib cage. I knew you were the one. I'm in love with you, and I'd like to offer you my heart. Ooh. If romance.
Oh. Ooh.
So not physically.
Doesn't help me at all.
Oh. Oh, no.
Okay, let me ask. Nice, though. You're a nice guy.
How are you going to take the heart?
Well, you could get a knife and cut it out of your chest.
That sounds awful. It's not appealing.
Well...
What is there an animal that has like more than one heart? Like an octopus?
Did you bring that Wolverine with you? There it is.
Oh,
not going to be that easy.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, screw it. Fine.
What are you talking about?
Sure?
We need to get through the door. And as I said, I've come here for research. And this is ultimate research. I'm going to become the tower. That's fantastic, I assume. Take my heart. And I stab myself
with
a heart.
No! What?
Stab yourself in the chest.
What a method actor.
It's for the role.
You do that.
What?
Yep. You rip your chest open and, I mean, you take an incredible amount of damage and you just die.
There was probably a
There's
way.
Probably a clever solution.
There absolutely was.
Oh, no.
I'm afraid you die.
Flounce.
Oh, shit.
You rip your chest open, Flounce dies, and the ghost of Flounce appears out of his body.
Hello.
What?
Flounce.
And Flounce is now a ghost, and you will now be on my side.
Yeah.
So you now work for the tower.
Okay,
and
great.
You're going to be helping me to try and stop these guys from succeeding.
This is the perfect role.
You've killed yourself, and your heart is exposed now.
Okay. So I traumatized, but just go and reach for the heart.
Are we sure you should be doing that? Are you sure you should be doing that? Yeah,
I mean,
go on, grab the heart.
We've come this far, haven't we? And I kind of offer it up to the skeleton.
Okay, the skeleton takes the heart and says, oh, wow, I really did not think one of you was going to do that. That's crazy. I probably would have just taken one of those heart cards you have there.
Flounce just nods like
Well, this is great though, thanks. He takes the heart, he puts it in his own chest, and you see him regenerate into a human stood in the cage. What? Oh, great, thanks.
Can you toss us the key?
Toss me the key, please. Oh yeah, sure, here you go. Tosses you the key.
Oh shit.
Do you want us to let you out of that cage?
Oh, that'd be great, yeah.
Will you come help us?
No.
As this is happening, I've opened the door. I'm like, meat man, we're in here, meat man.
No!
Yeah, the meat man is clambering up through the hole.
Hand me the key. Hand me the key. Oh, here. Thank you. I need to unlock it and kick it.
You unlock the door and you kick it. Yeah. And the meat man, well, you left Sertain in the cage, so the meat man is going to start eating him from the feet up.
Oh, he's going to turn into a skeleton again.
Oh, no,
again.
I was just alive again. No. The meat man starts consuming him, but it does slow the meat man down again.
Cool, yes.
Well, Flounce, I guess, thank you for your sacrifice. It really means a lot.
Oh, it's okay. I am working actively against you now, so I'm gonna hover around and play some sneaky games on you.
Oh,
come on, let's go.
Well, it's not very sneaky to tell us, you
isn't it?
No, I'm doing that eyebrow thing again. So, who's going through first?
Well, I've kicked the door, and
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Head through.
You head through, and you see a spiral staircase leading up.
All right.
Okay.
After you.
I cast light on my nipple again, and I...
Other nipple?
No, the other nipple. Yeah, the other one was getting out.
I was tired. Yeah.
And Kembriel starts heading up.
You head up the stairs. Nothing happens. Just a staircase, this one.
Oh, great. Well, I'm going to follow.
I will follow as well.
And you reach the top of the staircase, and there's another door there. This one shimmering with blue light. And you hear a voice say... Where did it come from? What is it for? Why is it warm? It's the Hansi door!
What? Oh.
Challenge me! And a hand, a blue ghostly hand, extends from the door. This is an old favourite, the Hansi door.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
I'm extending my actual hand out into the room. You have to challenge me to a hand-based contest. And you have to win. It's up to you what you do.
Okay. So,
I've never played. Have you played this game before?
We played it once before.
We had it once in the last Tower of Terror.
You could do. You can do anything.
I think I did rock, paper, scissors.
The slap thing? How about that?
Slaps would work.
Okay, we'll do slaps. Yes. Hare sticks his hare hand out.
So, what are your rules for slaps?
I don't know. Do you want to be the slappy or the slapper?
So, I'll start as the slapper. And then...
How's this going
to
work?
You've got to dodge, and if I miss one, it goes to you. And let's say I have to get three slaps in a row.
In a row?
In a row,
so you're slapping me.
I'm slapping you.
So you would start under me and slap...
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
so
you go.
Okay.
So... that was one. That was one. And that one. We got two. Oh, he just needs one more.
He's a wily Brit.
That's three. Now, in fairness, I'm going to give you a chance to do the same to me and see if you can match. I've got an odd.
So now it's the other way around. One. Okay, two.
Okay, even again.
2 hours later.
One. Two.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Successful dodge.
What does that mean?
That means the door lets you pass through.
Oh my days. Okay. Well done, though. That was very exciting.
Through
sadly,
the door.
No one saw any of that.
No. You pass through the door, and Kendril, you take a d12 of damage.
Why?
Oh, my body.
What? Is it something to do with the letter?
Oh, the letter.
Remember he ripped up that weird letter?
I admit I do.
He's not the first through a door, maybe he takes damage.
Oh no, you worked it out.
No,
oh, no.
Which is a bad thing.
And Kendriel immediately died. Kendriel was cursed. And if anyone worked out what it was, he immediately died.
No.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Kendriel.
It was going to happen. Kendriel goes down and just your body, you collapse and your body just falls down the stairs all the way to the bottom. And the body falls away, but your spirit remains standing there.
And you see how truly dark my nipples are.
Hello, Kendriel. Let's go up and call some shit.
I don't think you need to. People are dropping like flies now.
Yes, maybe this is my true self. The vision was true. Okay. I don't know.
Kendriel's now a ghost as well.
A lot of vision.
And Bracken, the hand still awaits you.
Oh my. So, shall we do like a guessing?
You could do just put a thing in your hand, 50-50 guess if you want.
Oh,
yeah. I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to get my dice and then you have to guess what hand it's in.
Okay, so the hand is going to tap one of your hands to guess which one it's in.
Okay.
Oh, this is exciting. This is real D&D.
Yeah.
All right.
The hand slaps your left hand.
Bah!
Oh, it's empty.
It's not in my one.
The door goes, well done, and opens, and you pass through.
Nice one!
Nice.
And it closes behind you, just as you hear the slapping sound of meat starting to climb the stairs.
Oh, no. All right, what's in this room?
So you step through, and you are confronted with another ladder. This time, it's suspended straight up, and it goes up into darkness.
Definitely go up the ladder without thinking about it. Come on, guys.
I mean, we must be close to the treasure by now.
Yes, 100%. If you
sound sure.
No, I'm not. If one of us falls, maybe I should be underneath you to catch you? Or maybe I could tether you to my hair, so if I fall, you catch me by my hair, and if you fall, you can just hold on.
Let's do that.
Okay, I'll try to wrap a long length of hair around your waist.
Sure.
Nice, yeah, that's nice. You can do that.
All right,
you've
great.
Got this insane amount of hair. Who's going first?
I guess, well, if my hair is attached to your waist, it doesn't fucking matter. Okay. I'll go first.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, you climb up first. The ladder continues up, though no light appears. You are climbing on up and up into darkness, which deepens until you can no longer see even your own hands on the rungs in front of you.
Oh, I bet you wish you had my nipples now.
He's just being taunted by invisible ghosts.
Very creepy.
Suddenly, another voice startles you.
I can sense your delicious memories.
A faint glow sheds some light on the two of you, emanating from a pale silver mist that hovers on the ladder above you.
Give me your memories, and I will heal you. Climb into my mist and share with me.
I mean, do we have an option? Are we climbing that way?
You are climbing that way.
Gotta go through the mist,
yeah.
Right? All right, I'll climb through the mist.
Yeah. You climb into the mist, and you hear a voice.
Share a memory with me. What is the German word for donkey?
What?
Oh.
Oh, it's like...
Not you. It was Essel.
Yes! Delicious.
I wanted it to be an eel.
Oh, no.
Nom, 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 nom.
Oh, it's kind of creepy, though.
Oh, my God.
Just a little bit more. What was the first card turned from the deck?
Jack of Hearts.
Delicious! Oh.
You feel yourself being healed by the silvery mist. And you heal for... 9 points of health.
I'm back up to full.
Amazing.
There you go, full health. And you climb up safely.
Amazing. Good luck back there.
So tugged along by the hair comes Bracken into the mist.
Hello.
More memories. What was written on the plaque beneath the statue?
All right. Fuck. Oh, man, what was it? It was something about manners. Meat. Manners. Values, meat.
Values matters.
I can tell you, you're nowhere near.
Really? It was meat matters.
No, it was poor manners maketh meat man.
Ah, okay.
I'm afraid you didn't get it. So
damn
you
it.
Take
no.
4 damage.
Oh, okay.
And you have one more question.
All right.
And this one's not very fair.
Mm?
Why?
Because the question is, how many stars were on the front of the envelope?
Oh.
It was there on the table
it
in front of
on
you.
The table, yeah.
I'm going to go with 3.
It was 4.
Oh, it was 4.
So close.
Oh.
You take 7 damage.
Ah.
But you pass through the mist and continue climbing the ladder.
Yeah, we'll keep going up and up.
You keep going up the ladder. At the top of the ladder, you reach a small platform suspended in the surrounding darkness, on which stands a large, ornate door inlaid with curling golden patterns.
You know, her, I just want to say before we go any further, her, that I've really, really liked going through this tower with you. You know, I spend a lot of time with animals, and even though, you know, you actually look more like an animal than anything else, like, I really have appreciated having a friend that I can talk to.
That's beautiful.
I'm really enjoying this as a scene. And I'm like holding, you know, one of those like megaphones, you know, that directors have. Mm, like the old fashioned one. I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, this is a wonderful scene. We're really learning about the characters just before they inevitably will die. And using the megaphone, I'm like, meat man, they're upstairs.
All right, let's get through this door.
So you said it's a gilded door?
It's gilded and beautiful.
Okay.
Try the handle.
Yeah.
It opens. Yeah.
Great.
Great. I step through.
You step through into a cavernous room full of treasure.
Oh, we did it! Oh!
No.
Mountains of gold, chests filled to the brim with gemstones, crowns, goblets, jewelry, and on the far side of the chamber, a golden throne. So much riches you can barely comprehend the scale of it.
Can we roll?
Is there anything?
You can roll an arcana check.
Okay. 18.
So, again, you're able to concentrate your spellcasting power and see that this is not what it should be. Everything is slightly unusual. As you move your head, you can see the gold kind of shimmer and flicker a little bit, and you know you're looking at some sort of illusion.
All right, so no, don't touch it. It's not real.
But it's right here.
No. It's not real, her. Look, we've got to look through it, maybe?
Now that you've seen your way through the spell, you're able to bring it away from your mind. The spell falters, and you see that the room is in fact full of junk. Scraps of metal, broken and discarded weapons and tools, huge stacks of newspapers, and piles of dented, rusty armor. It looks like the room of a hoarder. Can someone roll a perception check?
I'll look around. 18 plus something.
So you notice, with your very keen eyes, that though the throne has been revealed to be made of crates and empty bottles, something that catches your eye is there's a small box sitting on the throne, and it's the only thing in the room that didn't change when the illusion spell broke. You sense that that is the true treasure. The thing you have been searching for, yearning for, suffering for. But only one of you can claim it.
We're going to have to fight each other to the death.
When you could either kill each other or you could agree an answer, or you both die, whatever happens.
Wait, we can either kill each other or...
One of you could just give the other the treasure if you wanted.
Oh.
But we can't share it.
You can't share it. But first, the two ghosts, the ghosts of Kendriel and Flounce, float into a stack of beer cans. Your ghostly forms expand to fill them, and the beer cans start to glow with a light of dancing blue flames, and they spring to life.
Beer cans?
What?
Beer cans have formed into animated armor.
Okay.
Made of beer cans.
Great.
What brand of beer cans?
Are we sponsored by?
Are they good? Is it good beer, or is it just crappy beer?
D&D beer can pun. Ale and well met.
Oh!
Okay, so what do you want to do?
I could so easily dispatch you, but I will not. As a bonus action, I will rage, just in case.
Yeah.
And say, I really need this treasure. I've been wanting to get this hair off of my body since I was a little boy, and I refused to get a haircut when my papa asked me to, and I have been cursed ever since. Please give it to me.
I just...
I wish I could. I've just got all my animals at home, and if I don't take care of them, they'll not know what to do with themselves, you know, like...
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to do this. I will attack my friend, my compatriot, Bracken.
That's all right. I understand.
I can't do it.
Do it.
Do it. Do it.
Oh, shut up.
Beer cans.
Dancing beer cans.
I will frenzy. I will attack with a frenzy. So my first attack is a 19 to hit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Is this with the giant scissors?
Yes, yeah. With giant scissors.
Look, I've dealt with a lot worse, all right?
I rolled really badly. 4 points of damage.
Nah.
And then as my bonus action, I can attack again.
Yeah. Oh, no. Okay, that's not good.
Rolling to hit. 12 plus 17 to hit.
Yeah.
And 5 points of damage, but I believe I also get a plus 2, so that's 7 points of damage.
Okay, I'm down.
And presumably you're not going to heal her because you're now not on her side. Can I? You become a ghost as well.
No, that's me dead. I'm sorry,
there's no one to heal you. There's no one to heal you. Your friend betrayed you.
No.
The betrayal.
I'm so sorry. I come on your show and I kill you.
Your ghost reforms in the air and then you go and start haunting a pile of newspapers and you form into a newspaper armor.
What? So many things happened at once.
I'm just going to send you
I'll take care of your animals for you.
I think they'll really like you.
Yes, I'll let them play in my fur.
I've had a pet grey ooze since I was 14. Will you take care of that?
What's their name?
Lenny.
I'll take care of Lenny. I promise you.
Thanks, her.
You've still got to get out of here.
There's
two suits of beer cans and one suit of newspapers attacking you. So you can see the throne on the far side of the room with a little box on it, and there's all this kind of piles of stuff in the way.
Using my movement to run over towards it.
Okay, you're going to have to roll a dexterity check to move around the room.
A two.
So you manage to clatter straight into a pile of cardboard boxes. Just touching them, touching anything in the room, immediately causes damage to you.
Oh.
You take 2d12 damage.
Oh! 2d12? One. Two.
Okay, so 3 damage. Wow. Not bad.
Does his raging affect that? Is it physical
damage?
No, this is magical damage.
How much health you got left?
Lots.
Loads. What? Okay, right.
24.
Okay, well, now it's time for the armor to attack you, though.
Yeah.
Three suits of ridiculous
armor.
Should
we all just roll our attacks now?
Yeah,
your roll attacks together.
So I'm going to run up to here, and I'm going to smash him in the face with my beer can fist. 12.
14. Doesn't hit.
God. 19. Thank God. 23.
One hit. Let's do all the attacks together and then all the damage. So we got...
4.
It's a miss.
20. Natural.
A natural 20. Yeah. Critical hit. Okay. And over here...
I also rolled a 4.
Yep.
And a 15.
15. So we got 3 hits. Now roll damage.
Okay.
One of those damages is going to be doubled.
4.
4. Double to 8.
7.
7.
I rolled a 1, so that makes it 3.
So all the damage is halved because you're raging. Yes. So we have a total of 18 halved to 9 damage.
Okay.
Not too bad. What are you doing?
Oh my god.
I am... Boy, oh boy.
What's in the box?
I gotta go to the box. I'll use my action to get over to the box.
Okay, you're gonna have to do another dexterity check to get past all the piles of stuff.
Terrible. 6.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to take some damage.
Yeah, you plowed into a pile of broken sword pieces and you take another 2d12 damage.
12.
Oh my god.
1.
And 1.
I'm still alive, barely.
But barely.
Do I get over
Does
to
he get
it?
To the box?
You don't, because you keep hitting things and stumbling and falling over.
I wanted to know what was in the box.
So it's another round of attacks from these guys.
Oh, no.
Oh, it looks bad for me.
Okay.
Don't you guys want to see what's in the box?
I got a 9 and a 1.
So you'll both miss.
Damn it.
I got a 7 and then an 8.
Damn it.
They both missed.
Damn it.
First one missed. Second one was 20.
We have not natural. We have 1 hit. How much health do you have left?
2 points.
Oh, no. Oh man.
Roll for damage.
So if you roll any more than a...
Well, it's halved because he's in a rage.
So yes, if he rolls
a one or a two,
I'm alive.
Three, you're alive.
Fight!
It's a fight!
No!
So close!
Oh, God. We really want to see what's in the box, man.
But he's been beaten to death by beer cans.
Oh, my God.
The beer cans smashed you to pieces.
I deserve this for how I mistreated Bracken. I'm sorry.
Perhaps. You're just going to take care of me animals
the,
now?
You reach the throne. Your hand reaches up. You're so close to getting that box. And then a beer can smashes you on the head and you fall unconscious.
You know what the worst part about this is? Hair still grows after you die.
And that was the story of the four foolish explorers who met their grisly end like so many have before. Their bodies will crumble to dust and piles of hair, but their spirits will remain in the tower for all eternity. Or at least until someone can best its perhaps unbestable challenges. Join me next time for another tale of the Tower of Terror.
Wow. Hey!
God! What a show.
Thank you for listening to this special episode of Hell or High Rollers. If you'd like to hear the first episode of the Tower of Terror, as well as other bonus episodes and an entire side campaign, you can sign up to the Hell or High Rollers Patreon. Today's DM was Henry Shields. The players were Chris Leesk, Greg Tannehill, Ellie Morris, and me, Sam Riegel. The music you're listening to right now is by Max Runham, and the show's producer is Gareth Tempest. Thanks for listening!
When you get through 9 layers of hell, you'll have a hell of a story to tell. You're heading back to life, back to the grind, but it ain't that like you knew so well. Keep telling myself to stay strong, you know I ain't done nothing wrong. I can feel it in my soul that this ain't where I belong.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.